It's Thursday, the 19th of April. Welcome to episode 116 of Digital Outbox. Hi, and thanks for tuning in again. Joining us tonight is Henry. Hi, Henry.
Hiya, yowza!
There you go. Positivity. I don't know why I said tuning in. You
know, I don't know why I said yowza, but there we go.
I thought you were going to do yabba dabba doo at one point.
Well, that would have been, I'm smarter than the average blogger.
Oh, dear.
Podcaster.
Oh, dear.
Can you cut that out?
No. Nope. Tell you what, you do the editing. You can cut it out. So it's just the two of us tonight. I won't say any more because at any time I talk about that, we end up being, well, okay. So we'll crack on with your favourite subject. It's very apt that you're back with us this week. So Twitter have introduced the Innovators Patent Agreement.
Actually, this is really quite quite a positive move, I think. You know, the thing with patents, and I get on my high horse every other week and say how terrible it is and keep banging the drum. But, you know, really, patents are with us whether we like it or not. So we really have to make the best of a bad state of affairs. And so Twitter have announced an Innovators Patent Agreement, the IPA. I thought that was a funny kind of glue that you put that you watered down and put on the walls, but clearly Twitter have you know, there's only so many three letter acronyms that are available, so they've repurposed that particular TLA, and are using it for this. So and they've come out with this this announcement where they've got all these patents. And on a whole load of things, and but they want to kind of make sure that they're used in a positive way in future, and not used to bash the little guy as they often are. So what they're doing is it's a new way of doing patent assignment that keeps control in the hands of the engineers and designers who came up with the things in the first place. And it's a commitment from Twitter that their patents are only going to be used for defensive purposes, and they're not going to use the patents from employees' inventions in offensive litigation without their permission. That's what they're saying. So, and they're saying that control is going to flow with the patents. So, patents. So if they sold them on to others, they could only use them as the inventor intended. And I think it's a good step. It's a positive step, it's good for employees because I don't know what it's like at your work, Ian, but certainly, you know, several places I've worked at, they got me to sign something which says that anything I develop in the line of my work belongs to my employers if they are able to exploit it.
I think most companies are like that as well.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, I work for a company now that has quite a lot of intellectual property that, you know, for quite a small company, it's what they're really trying to leverage and things. And it's quite, it's actually quite fun when you know the guys and you see their names on patents, you kind of look them up. But you know that they're not really benefiting from that, you know, financially. It's the company that's getting the benefit of that, and that's you know, that's one of the things. So this actually seems a very positive move by Facebook,
Twitter,
and yes, Twitter even. Gosh, that was a faux pas, wasn't it?
And it is a really good move. I guess there's a risk that they might be left on their own. You know, if no other company kind of follows the lead, and there's certainly some prominent Google engineers are that they're kind of tweeting and talking about. That the more they read and understand about it, the more they like it. So hopefully, if they could get another two or three of the big tech companies, this could make a real difference. And especially in things like, I mean, somebody commented that Pull to Refresh, which It was Tweety that first brought it in, and obviously Twitter bought Tweety, and that patent is residing with Twitter right now. There was a lot of talk how that particular pull to refresh hadn't been picked up by Apple, and was it because of the potential of being, you know, sued by Twitter? And hopefully this removes that kind of fear. Certainly a few developers have said they hadn't brought it in either, because they felt that they would add it in, customers would love it, and then Twitter could, you know, turn around and a year later and say, actually, pay us this money or take it out. And it has become, in so many apps, a really almost default way of working.
Yes, it is. You know, and at which point does that become no longer really an innovation? It's not something that you can really make a lot of money out of, I don't think, unless you were to sue people for copying it. I don't know, but it's a really good piece of user interface design, and you know, I think it should be freely available.
Absolutely, and just in case, and I'm sure you are aware, but Twitter actually put a lot of their software back into the open source community. You know, so there's Bootstrap, which is so many websites and apps are now starting to use Bootstrap as a quick way of getting their app up and running. They're putting a hold of MySQL forks back in there. And if you go to twitter.github.com, excuse me, you can see all the software that they're actually putting back into the community. It is really good to see.
Yep.
So well played, Twitter. Well played, Twitter. I thought I would. I deliberately made a positive start this week. Nokia, however, they had some financial, and I know we said we wouldn't do financial announcements, but this is a particularly bad one. The quarterly results, they said things were mixed, but they've just lost $1.8 billion in this quarter alone.
Yeah, you're not going to find that down the back of the sofa, are you, Ian?
No. And it's funny, the problem stems in large part from dramatic falls in mobile sales. I want to be an analyst. But the
you couldn't do much better than that, could you, really?
No.
Yes.
But
yes.
It's...
We posted losses because we didn't sell much stuff.
Yeah.
Really?
Gosh. And I guess what's maybe quite telling is the Lumia 900, they're actually admitting that it's not selling as well as hoped. I think what we're finding is a lot of the kind of Microsoft Nokia tie-up was, you know, a lot of it is built in hope. Unless they match the best that's out there, they're not going to pick up new business, because you've got to at least match it, if not better it.
Yeah, I think matching it isn't even good enough, Ian. The traction is with iOS and with Android, and you've got to have something absolutely remarkable that people are even going to notice. Now the Lumia 900 was a phone that got, you know, pretty good reviews. You know, if you're looking for a Windows mobile handset, it's not a bad phone to go for. The thing is, nobody is looking for a Windows handset, so they're kind of really
snickered
a bit.
Yeah. I guess it'll be interesting to see. I think there's already talk of what the next Windows mobile operating system will bring and what that next hardware will bring, because they certainly have. I mean, they've made a big leap in catching up. You know, because it was so far behind, it was a big step forward, and it's really what comes next. Can they make that jump again? I think the problem is it's there's a lot of low hanging fruit. If you know what I mean, there was things that were so obvious that they had to catch up on that they have done. But how do they then take that forward? And to be fair, there's lots of people have said if they could have had that Lumia 900, if they could have the Windows OS and an iPhone hardware, they would actually quite like it, because seemingly the OS is very, very good.
Yeah, there is that, and you know, I'm going to come back to my old chestnut of you know, the software being the hardware these days, and you know, people having a lot of money and invested in apps and stuff, and you know, there is a sense of can I take all these with us? Can I take these with me? You've got a lot of inertia to overcome from, you know, the majority of people now have a smartphone, be it Android or an iPhone, and you know, you're going to have to overcome quite a lot. And I don't think the it's the apps and the content which isn't really there. Never mind what the OS is like underneath and how good that is.
Yeah, and I guess what amazes me, I'm on a course this week, and the course is internal to our work, but there is 15 of us on that course, and I think there's like, you know, 13 iPhones, 4 iPads, couple Android devices, all amongst that 15, and it's not an IT course, you know, so it's scary just what's now standard. You know, everybody's, as you said, everybody's got a smartphone. Apple. So over the last couple of podcasts that you've missed, Henry, we've been talking about this this flashback.
Yes, I couldn't get online because I was struck down by it.
Apple.
Actually, I was in mourning for the loss of innocence of the OS X hardware software, the operating system that everyone's been, you know, the smugness been wiped off every Mac user's face.
You missed the reaction from Chris. So Ian, you've been telling me for years it's safe. Apple have finally updated Java on the platform, and they've also a kind of removal tool. And Symantec actually showed that the figures dropped pretty quickly. You know, so 600,000 people on the 6th of April dropped 4 days later to almost half. Five days later. You know, so yeah. a really quick turnaround, hopefully.
Which is great, but can I just say it's absolutely disgraceful and shocking the way that Apple takes so long to provide updates for these kind of things. You know, that was weeks that was out in the wild before they actually come out with something.
So eight weeks from when the Java patch had come out.
It is not on. It's completely. Nope. It's completely unacceptable. It's irresponsible, and you'd expect somebody, you know, Apple to do better. You know, gone are the days when they were just a two-bit outfit with you know, a very tiny percentage of an installed base of Macs in terms of personal computers. It's unacceptable for them to just kind of bury their head in the sand with these things, and you can see how quickly that the Mac community respond when they do get an update. So you know, there's no excuse for that not to be made available.
Especially I do kind of go with that little train of thought that it was just to try and encourage people to, you know, well, don't use nasty things like Java because it's no different from Flash, and really you should buy everything from that app store, especially when the sandboxing comes along, because that will prevent all this. And see, if it wasn't for all the bad press they got, I would have actually kind of believed that more. But I still just think they were a bit tardy.
They were slow.
Yep.
They were slow. You just can't afford to be slow these days.
Something that's definitely not going to be slow, because they'll tell us it's the quickest, fastest, bestest ever. Windows 8 is coming this year.
Nice segue, Ian. I like that.
And I read that I spent seconds working that out. And I read that with interest that they're only going to bring 3 flavors. So if you remember Windows 7 and Vista, I think you could have bought 33 different versions of it, and it was the mind boggled when you went to purchase these things. And I remember Steve Jobs would just stand there and saying it's coming in these versions, and he'd just hold up one box, and everybody would be like, "Woohoo, woohoo!" So yeah, it's going to come in 3 flavors: Windows 8, Windows 8 Pro, and Windows RT.
Windows RT.
Windows RT.
That sounds like a car.
However, there had to be a however. Windows 8 is the mainstream consumer edition. The Pro version brings a number of features like encryption and virtualization and PC management. But they also come in 32 and 64-bit versions. So I'm sure that's a difference. And the RT edition is only going to run an ARM chip. And when they first talked about RT coming to ARM, they were saying it's going to be the full Windows experience, but it looks like it's not. They're going to be touch-optimized versions of Microsoft Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, and I think it's a Metro front end, and that's it.
Great.
Yeah.
Super. Actually, somebody, you know, actually all that's happened here is that they finally realized that it's despite all the marketing hype that they've thrown at this, the engineering challenge of moving your whole operating system to a completely different architecture is perhaps a little bit more difficult than they'd anticipated. Probably not more difficult than the engineers at Microsoft had anticipated, but certainly more than the behemoth that is the Microsoft marketing machine. Hardly a surprise, but probably a bit of a disappointment.
So if you're counting at home, you got to 5 there instead of 3. And I thought, well, 5's not too bad. But then they also did say as an enterprise version of Windows 8 that will include all of the features of Windows 8 Pro and some tools for IT organizations. So for my friends in Barrow, they can count that in one hand. That's 6 different versions of Windows 8 coming out.
6 different, yeah. So of the 3 different flavors, there's actually 6 different versions.
Well done.
At least. Okay.
Good job.
Yeah. Yeah, I can cope with that.
Now, we like our gadgets.
We do indeed.
Would you buy a TV from IKEA? That wasn't very reassuring.
Well, I don't know. It might be quite a good TV. I mean, you do get to see it in how it would look in your living room, wouldn't you?
Yes. So, seemingly, after extensive research, seemingly customers want IKEA to not just sell them the furniture, but build in the electronics and hide all those nasty, ugly cables, please, which is actually a very good point. So IKEA, this year in Sweden, will start to sell integrated TVs, Blu-ray players and sound systems built into their furniture.
Do you know, I just can't imagine what they're going to call these things, though, are they?
I can tell you, the product range is called Upleva.
Upleva?
Which means experience.
There we go. Gosh, if only I could read the show notes as well as you could.
I thought you'd set me up really nicely there. Thanks for that. Now, the IKEA aren't going to make the electronics. It's coming from a Chinese CE giant called TCL. Another TLA that's been robbed from somewhere else.
Yeah.
So it's
I'm not convinced by that, are you?
No.
But then, I mean, everything's made in China. So, you know, I shouldn't get all, oh, it's Chinese, it's going to be rubbish, should I? I mean, you know, I mean, I don't say that about my iPad, and it was made in China.
But before that explosion. I'll never let that. Never let you forget that comment. Sweden in June, other countries in the autumn, but it won't hit the UK until 2013.
Very good.
Watch this space. A few quick short ones. Read it later. This is one of your favorite iPad apps.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I think it's just because it's one that I use. You know, I mean, what do you use instead?
I was using Instapaper.
Instapaper.
I think just because my bookmarks are set up for it, and when I looked at Read It Later, it didn't seem to give me too much more. So,
Do you know, I think that's kind of, you know, I felt the same about Instapaper, that, you know, it doesn't seem to give me much more than what. So you kind of stick with what you've got, really, don't you?
Yeah. But Read It Later is no more. It's now called Pocket.
Right.
Have you tried it?
No.
Okay.
I did notice it was available, but I've not actually popped it on the.
I popped it on because it was free now. So previously, I think Read It Later, I can't remember how much it was. Was it one of these one?
Well, it was one. They did have a kind of a free version and a paid for version.
So it's now called Pocket, and what they seem to have focused on is it's now a nice looking grid, and it now stores video and images a lot better than. Certainly, Instapaper wasn't very good with you know, videos and stuff. And I think Read It Later did focus on the reading it part of it, but they're now saying actually people are looking for good ways of just snapping, you know, not just text and websites, but you know, save that video, save that image, and I can view it later on. And it worked really well, and it's free. So if you've not got one of these tools, then grab that.
Sounds good.
That should have been my pick.
Should have been.
Dear old game. So they've been to hell and back. They're now alive, and EA are now back talking with them. So Mass Effect 3 and FIFA Street are now in stores and online for a very cheap price as well. So if you've not picked up Mass Effect 3, Game are selling it for £30, £25 online.
Of course, worth remembering that a lot of the game stores have actually shut. So if you go down to your old game store, you might find just be presented with the shutters and be unable to get in. But if you can find one that's open, that's the place to be.
Well, we've still got 400 stores. Let's not be...
Yeah, I know, but we've said before about... I mean, they used to be on every street corner. I mean, you know, you couldn't even find a... You know, round our way, you couldn't find a paper. You couldn't buy a paper because there was, you know, no paper shops because they were all game stores.
That's not quite true. Come on. But there was too many of them.
I'm exaggerating, but... slightly.
EA are back, and Nintendo are also selling their latest games. It's actually good to see them. It looks like they've turned a corner anyway.
Well, you'd certainly hope so, wouldn't you? A bit of a, you know, we've said before, a bit of a gaming institution in the UK, and it would be sorry to see them go completely.
Surely not. Surely not. Can't happen. And the final one for me this week, Halo 4.
Oh, yeah.
So the first three Halo games have been the last sort of 10 years, all been made by Bungie. Halo 4's coming out November 6th. It's already marked in my diary, it's not. But I'll remember.
You'll be up all night.
No, I won't. I'm beyond that now.
Yeah, actually. A lot of places start selling them at midnight now, though, don't they?
They do. And I can go back to when Xbox came out. I did, you know... Still remember the day myself, Roy and Graham going to town at midnight for that opening.
Ah.
Pick up our Xboxes.
Those are the days.
Looking at all the little Neds, looking at our bags, thinking, I'm going to stab you. I'm going to stab you. And maybe that was only in Glasgow. I'm going to stab you and take that Xbox, mate. I do even remember walking quite quickly, like sort of 1 a.m. And then we met the next day and we were all talking about how great the grass texture looked in Halo. All walking around, running around, looking at, look how good that looks. Glory days. Anyway, so Halo 4 is going to be the start of a brand new trilogy. So I think they're almost doing a start again. It's 4 years after Halo 3, but it's going to be another 10 years of gaming. I'm sure what we're going to see is Halo 4 on the 360 this year, and Halo 5 will probably take us into the new console when Microsoft bring that out. I still have fears about this. 343 Industries have taken over from Bungie, and I think they're going to ruin my multiplayer. I love my Halo, and I just think they're going to mess it up. I have the fear.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see, won't we?
Shouldn't worry about these things. Man, I'm a grown man. I shouldn't worry. That's our news this week. I have no picks, but Henry has rode in like a hero with a great pick.
Yeah, I have a pick. I've been playing around with this week. One of the things I was just looking for on my iPad is one of those apps where, you know, you're writing with your finger and you're trying to get some sort of text recognition from that. There's quite a lot of apps out there that kind of do this. And I've found a free one to try called MyScript Memo. It's a universal app on iOS, obviously. It does have some limitations, but certainly the character recognition, even in my terrible handwriting, is surprisingly good. On the iPad, it's got a nice palm protector so that you don't kind of overwrite yourself, just a kind of a grey translucent panel that comes over the bottom half of the screen. So that works really well, and the OCR itself works really well. It only works in portrait mode, which is a bit odd. But it recognizes words really well. The way it works is that you type in your list or your notes or whatever, and then when you're finished, you go to export them, and you can export it either as a picture or as text. And if you want to export it as text, an in-app purchase. But you can see the text that it's going to actually export, and so you can see what it's converted to. So actually, this is quite a good model for an app like this. You know, the real functionality of it is your handwriting to text, and you get to see how well it's going to do that with your handwriting before you actually shell out any cash for it. So yeah, it's got some rough edges. It's not going to be for everybody, but it works pretty well for me, and worth having a look at, worth having a download, and seeing how you get on.
Fantastic! It looks really good. I've just downloaded it. As usual with your picks, I just tend to go, right, I'll have that. Thanks for that, Henry. That's our pick this week. That's our podcast. Oh, I should point out one more thing.
I
keep on messing this up. I'm not the best at this. Episode 116, it's still total fail. We had a competition about sort of 3-4 weeks ago.
We did?
Yeah. So,
and I still have the prize. The T-shirt is still pristine in its bag.
Fantastic! I was wondering how you're going to finish that off.
In its bag, in its box, it's in the bag.
Still pristine after it came back from the dry cleaners. So all you need to do. Please go to facebook.com/digitaloutbox because I finally sorted out our vanity name as well. I may as well confess that we've only just done that.
So we have a vanity name.
Vanity name. Facebook.com/digitaloutbox. Please like us. It really helps us. What we'll do is next Wednesday or Thursday before the podcast, we'll randomly pick somebody on there. And we'll send you this T-shirt. I might even do a blog post because the boss has instructed me to get a blog post up on the site as well.
Yeah, as though I didn't have a username and password for the blog myself.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, you noticed that I just assumed that you were talking about me when you said the boss there.
Well, there's nobody else.
Yeah.
I just did it by age. If you want to find out more about us, facebook.com/digitaloutbox. You can visit our website, www.digitaloutbox.com. Twitter, Skype as Digital Outbox, or ping us an email, info@digitaloutbox.com. To find out more about Henry, where can we find you, Henry?
You can find me on Twitter as Talk Rhubarb.
Fantastic. I'm on Twitter as Sweeper, and my blog is eandd.net. Thanks for listening, and hopefully we'll be back online next week. Cheers.
Toodaloo.
It was all going so well until I had to say bye-bye, and I was like, I have lost the power of speech.
I said a complete brat.
I have lost the power of speech.
Oh, it's like, it's been a long weekend.
Do you know, I might record that tomorrow again.
I know, I just do the start bit again as well.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, that's stayed in. And it's gone in the blooper reel. Oh. The blooper roll. Yeah, put that on your blooper roll. Very good. All right, I'm switching off now.